And the Old Testament reading says to us that Elijah went on a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Coming out of Elijah's experience is something perhaps that all of us would have experienced, and perhaps we are going through such an experience at this point in time, dealing with depressive situations in our lives. One of the aspects of the Bible is that it tells us the truth. And if you were to do a bit of studies of some of the characters in the Bible, you would see that the Bible, in its context, have identified a number of heroes of the faith. But some of these heroes were human in nature as well. For example, if you look at the life of Abraham, you would see in his life and in his ministry, sometimes he did not tell the truth. If you look at Jacob, you would see that Jacob was a thief. If you look at the life of Moses, you would see that Moses had an uncontrollable temper that resulted in experiences. If you look at the life of the great King David, who wrote most of the Psalms, you would see that David had a flair for ladies. Yes. To the point that he had to plead in Psalm 51, "Lord, take away everything from me." Hi, son. "Take away everything from me, but don't take away the Holy Spirit." But in spite of those inefficiencies, those and others are considered heroes and strength of our faith. This morning, Elijah is no experience. If you were to look at the story of this morning's Old Testament passage, you would see that years before, because Elijah had become fed up with the people of Israel and the nation of Israel, as a result of their idolatrous worship, Isaiah prayed that a drought befall the land. And so it was. And the people became upset with Isaiah. And Isaiah had to flee, he had to run from his position The Bible tells us in Isaiah's state of depression and running, he found himself under a tree, and the rest is history. The woman Jezebel had put a contract on Isaiah's life, and she was out to get him at all costs, and so he had to leave the place. Picture Isaiah in a depressive state, a prophet, a man of God, one whom God answered, has found himself in a state of depression. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a state of depression?
No.
You have been working for a company all your life, and this Monday morning you went to work and you are given a pink slip.
Because you don't work the right way.
You have taught your child everything possible that is right.
That's right.
Only to be told and find out that your child is on illicit drugs.
Sorry for that.
You are all right. Until one day you just get up and a little pain tells you something and you go to the doctor and your prognosis is not something you want to hear. Perhaps that child, that only child that you have, has got an offer to migrate. And you can't take that. See, a parent is disappointed. You have been working at a relationship, and everything you would have done humanly possible, there are still holes within it. Depression will come to us whether we want it or not. The question arises, how do we deal with it? Many a parent you would have heard when they find out their child has become a victim of the society or the law says, well, he was a good child. One of the ways we deal with depression, which is wrong, is that we place ourselves in a position of denial. We are afraid to accept, in another language, we are afraid to man up. Because the reality of the situation is facing us. And that's what happened to Elijah. Elijah was afraid to understand because of his preaching and his requests and the resulting consequences, he was being persecuted. We thank God, the God that Elijah served, and the God that we still serve, is a God who understands, is a God of compassion, is a God of mercy, is a God that does not hold the wrongs that we do against us eternally, unless we continue to do them.
That's right.
Elijah did not understand that the words of the psalmist were living. Elijah perhaps did not read the psalm, where the psalmist reminds us, Lord, 139, Lord, you have searched me out and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. And the psalmist goes on to point us that wherever we are, the eyes of the Lord are always upon us.
Amen. That's right.
This is how the writer puts it. Through all the changing of me, Carl, in trouble and in joy, what happened? The praises of my God. Through all the changing scenes of life, and Jesus understood that we are weak in nature, and when the effects of the life of our lives or the effects of the environment impact upon our lives, we may be tended to be broken. And Jesus said, come unto me. Let me hear you. All who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Therefore, other than finding scientific means for our depression, an eternal and everlasting answer is still to be found in the Word of God through Jesus Christ. Elijah must have said, Lord, I have done everything, you know. I followed the teachings, I did everything, but Lord, this woman still arose in my life. Lord, I can't take it now. And Elijah decides to put it. And poor fella, he gets so tired, he sat down under a tree.
Yes.
But you know what happened? Elijah did not know that God was following him. And when Elijah found himself under that boom tree, exhausted and otherwise, he fell asleep. And the Bible says an angel of the Lord touched him and said, hey, oi, boy, boy, get up, and eat something, take something, so that you can continue to for your journey.
Amen, that's right.
I want to tell you this morning, now that state of depression that you are in, the battle is not yours, it is God's. I want you to say after me, Lord, the battle is not mine, it is yours. Glory to God, the battle is not yours. Because every one of us within, we have an Elijah syndrome. Every one of us, we can't take it again. And that's why one of my anthems in Christianity are the words of what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry. Not something. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent. Everything to God in birth. And that's why the writer could have said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's all of us, but he belongs individually to me, and to you, and to you, and to you. Sometimes depressive situations come into our lives because of our own doing, because of other people, because of the environment, and that's why really at times we have no control over. But what we have control is how we deal with it. And that's why Holy Scripture reminds us that we must have a peace which passes all understanding. And so the question again, where are you? I want to take you back to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, where Paul and his partner were in prison. And they were in prison because they were preaching Jesus. And they were doing signs and wonders reflecting Jesus. And they were in prison. But Paul and his partner did not allow the prevailing circumstance to control them. Because the Bible tells us at midnight, Paul and his partner had a prayer meeting in the jail, in the cell. They sang praises to God. And that's why we must internalize and interpret and expound what we are taught. And we are taught how sweet the name, let me hear you, how sweet the name of Jesus song in a believer's ear. What happened? It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Now don't get me wrong, there are avenues where we can go to have a depressive state being taken care of. But there are some situations in our lives, and I keep saying it, over which we have absolutely no control. And the only way to get a resolve is to go to the greatest problem solver, who is Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said, I can do what? All things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, son. So how are you? How are you this morning? You're going to still carry on that basket that you left it. I want you to imaginatively look into that basket this morning. Take out what has no value or control that you can take off and leave it there.
That's right.
Leave it under this broom tree and let God's angels speak to you. And let me tell you something, me and Bah talking to anybody. But if you feel you're going to leave this church and go to the next church and you want to have depression, go and see.
That's right. Go and see.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Michael Julia, say, you what on you? I ain't thinking about you.
Go and see.
You feel that the power of the Lord is not here? So you're going down there and get some glasses of water to drink? Lord, me and I talking to nobody, not just thank you, Father God, Father God. Go and see, drink the water, and see if you won't get your skin in. Go!
And the oil.
I have come that all may have life, he said.
Amen.
And all may have life in abundance.
That's right.
But you can't expect to see the world over there and sit down here and your thirst will be quenched. You need to go to the well. The woman who had several relationships, it was hot baking sun. It was at midday when all the dainty ladies were filled. She went to the well, and in the hot sun she met Jesus, who eased her frustration. The woman who was depressed for 12 years, she would have spent perhaps every cent that she had to some of the doctors. She parted the crowd, went against the norm of the society, and she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You remember the story of Peter, I think it was, and his partner, they were going up to the temple to pray. And there at the gate, they met a man who was depressed because of his physical state. And he was accustomed begging, and people would put coins in his hands. That's good. Continue to do that if you do it. And he stretched out his hands and he said, Peter, help me, give me something. And you know what Peter said? He looked at the man, what did he say? He said, silver and gold have I none. By what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Perhaps you are looking for a breakthrough in your life. And you have started to become irritable. Nothing is wrong with that. That's the human part of life. Do not give up. If it took God over 400 years to lead his people out of slavery into freedom, what may seem like 400 days in your life is but a day in the life and power of Almighty God.
Amen.
Perhaps you are sitting here, your children are forsaking you. Your family have turned against you. And you're like Alice in Wonderland, sitting in your shoes and wondering, Lord, the God that you serve, let me remind you, says, I will never
leave you.
What? I will never leave you nor forsake you. All you have to do is to ask and seek and knock. And so, my friends, if perhaps we have come to this house of the Lord in a depressive state this morning, we are going to leave rejoicing,
amen,
knowing that all is not lost.
Yes. Right.
We are still children of the King. He is still the God who can heal your sickness. He is still the God who can intervene in that situation you are in. He is still the God who provides. He is still the God yesterday, today, and into eternity. God is saying to you this morning, get up and eat. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.